All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. And I don't even want to open my mouth until I pray here today. Father, we just invite you into this time, Lord. We just invite you into our own personal experiences, whatever that might be. And Lord, if we've caged something in, if there is something that we have kept inside that you have not yet been able to access, in Jesus' name, God, we just ask that you would give us permission. Or whatever is trying to protect that we would be able to deal with that we would be able to come in touch with it, Lord. God, we just come against that spirit of defensiveness that would cause us to protect rather than to run to you, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to work through our lives in such a way where we don't have to stuff things, we don't have to be caged in, we don't have to hide. That being free to feel, being free to deal with life, being free to just cope would become something that we would embrace as part of the gift of life. And we thank you that you are the divine healer and you are the comforter and that you have everything that we need in those moments, that you will not withhold, you will not withdraw. You will be the God that you have claimed you will be in our lives. And we are so grateful for that. We give you the thanks and give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Nothing too intense about that one, right? It is kind of intense stuff. But boy, I just, I don't have the words to articulate the necessity of what we're going to talk about today. I honestly feel like I could actually be speechless if I just sat on it for a minute. I actually no words would come out of my mouth. That is like miraculous, let me tell you what. No words coming out of my mouth. Just ask my husband, poor guy. What we want to look at today is that place that we get at where we start to comprehend that we want to move beyond where we've been. But the road to get to where we're going is paved sometimes with pain. It's paved with feeling things that we really didn't want to feel in the first place, and now we're kind of being forced to feel. It's paved with expectations that maybe aren't being fulfilled the way that we wanted them to be fulfilled. In every sense of the word, it is the journey that the Israelites took. When they were brought out of a place of enslavement and bondage and were on their journey towards a place called the Promised Land, which represented the homeland, which represented freedom. Okay. And that's where we are. And some of you are going to be like, hey, I feel like I'm in the Promised Land. I feel like I'm free. However, the life experience to maintain that freedom, how we need to maintain, whether we need to get free or stay free, we're going to need to learn how to cope and to not check out. With the survival techniques we have spent our whole life building and living on. That is such a huge thing. I can't even say how big it is. I don't have words to articulate it, but it is the determining factor of whether we move on and live in the Promised Land. And the Promised Land isn't necessarily like I'm going to live on the mountain and everything's going to be perfect and great and wonderful all the time. It's living in authentic identity, living without fear. Living with confidence that God is truly above our life circumstances, that we have everything we need in Him to do this life, good, bad, and ugly. Everything is held and kept by Him. And therefore, we honestly do not have to walk through life clutching and surviving and wondering how we're going to make it through the next crisis. Okay. That's kind of what I'm talking about. And so, a season of preparation, how this chapter was framed. It was framed that there's this foundation that needs to be developed. And that what God is after in our lives isn't so much to change our circumstances immediately, although He may, and although usually that's what we're after, is the circumstances changing. But what He's really after is He's after developing this foundation where we learn the art, the beauty, the grace of abiding in Him. We learn the strength and the character and the perseverance that comes in authentic relationship with Him. When you have the Creator working on your behalf, and when you understand what it's like to be held by Him, to be kept by Him, when things are falling apart, when you experience that, when nothing can shake you in this world to the point that God can't somehow reign over it. Okay? When you get there, you know what Jesus said? He said, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have much tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When you learn that, you learn what he means by that, and that in him, you will overcome the world too. And I'm not giving you some hyped up, let's all just woo-hoo-hoo, yeah, let's go and do it, okay? I mean, you actually will overcome the world. What is that? The world is on this just kind of destructive, just sad journey of everything is immediately, everything is about the here and now. Everything is just kind of framed in circumstances and things you can see with your eyes. And God's like, hey, you know what? I'm an eternal God. You're going to have to learn to see things a little bit different than just the here and now and just the pleasure and just the immediate that the world around you is seeking. It is a different journey. It is a different place to go. God is after something different in your life. Am I saying he just wants you to be a broken, pathetic mess 24/7? Do you know how many people are afraid to do counseling because they're afraid that they're going to fall apart? They're just going to fall apart. They're not going to be able to function. Okay? I'm actually talking about a God that could let you break, but then seal you with grace in such a way that you will just be moving and going through it. And you're like, how is this possible? How is this possible? Okay, that's not, and not denial either, because that's something different, okay? So a season of preparation is just really that time when God is grabbing the heartstrings of our life. He's saying to us, I want you. I want you. I want all of you. I don't want bits and pieces. I want you. It's a holy separation from the very things that once held us in bondage. And God is separating you. Hi. God is separating you right now. He's separating who you are authentically. He's dismantling things in your life that were sabotaging you somehow. And you might not even see that, but he is in a process of doing that. We're going to spend a lot more time talking about this. He really, and I really am going to keep emphasizing this, he is not going to ask you to give away what you don't have. And that's one of the lies of codependence, is that we're being asked to be in service. We're being asked to volunteer for 14 different Bible studies simultaneously and feeling empty and deprived the whole time. When God moves you into purpose, when he moves you into calling, he's moving you into a place that he has saturated already and he's filled you. We're vessels that can house him. We're now vessels, like a vessel is, you know, we sometimes hear these words and they sound so spiritual, but all a vessel is like a cup or a bowl. That's a vessel. Okay, so a broken bowl, I know we say brokenness is the gift, but brokenness is the gift because that's the house that goes down the cliff. Okay, what he wants to replace that with is a vessel that can actually house him. Okay, so we need to have it before we give it away. And some of what God will even do through our circumstances, if anybody is struggling, if your circumstances are like, these aren't letting up, these are still hard, I believe he will allow the pressure of our circumstances to just force us to push deeper into him. It's not that he doesn't want to release you. It's not that he doesn't have a better plan in that situation, but he knows the value of learning who he is in the heat of the battle. If he just walked into our life and delivered us, we'd be like, cool, okay, life goes on. But in those places of desperation, when things still aren't lining up, it presses us into him deeper, okay? And I want to introduce the concept of being led, because it's a little tricky for some of us. I won't say all of us, but usually we have leadership issues in our life. Usually we have authoritarian issues in our life. Now, most people are shocked by this initially in Coda 1, because they're like, well, I just let everybody else make decisions for me. But there is still a survival mode, still has this anti-authoritative kind of, I don't really want to come under somebody. I don't know if that makes sense. And some of that is trust issues. It's trust issues. You know, people have let me down. People have hurt me. So I'll submit in one sense, but in another sense, I would rather still be in a mode where I can somewhat control the environment. Okay. And I'm not saying that to, smack us over the head and say we're a bunch of control freaks. I'm a recovering control freak. Hopefully I've improved a little bit. You'll have to talk to my husband. He'd give you a better account. But that profound fear that my world is falling apart and the people in my life aren't doing what they need to be. And so I'm just clutching and grabbing and trying to manage it. That's what God's after. That's what he's saying you need to release to me. And we a lot of times don't release that because we say the leadership in my life is failing me though. What am I supposed to do? And set that aside for a minute, and I don't know who that applies to, some it will and some it won't. Set that aside for a minute, and what he wants to do is teach you how he leads, how he leads. And letting God lead, I don't know about anyone else, but for the first steps I took in letting God lead was like, okay, so we're doing this. Come on, let's go over here. And God, you're over here with me, right? And it's like, where are you? We came over here. Come on, let's get going. I mean, I was very self-sufficient. I didn't understand the concept of somebody leading my life. I mean, I didn't get it. It wasn't even like I was trying to be rebellious. I didn't know how to do that. And I mean, I realized when, the thought of not actually being the one that got to dictate some of that was like terrifying. Like, what are we going to do? And so the whole thing with being able to relate and love and that surrendering, literally, like, Jesus take the wheel was in my head today. Jesus take the wheel. I mean, that is not like a little cliche phrase from a song. I mean, Jesus take the wheel is a lot. Okay, Jesus take the wheel is I'm going on the passenger side and you're actually driving. And it's a wild ride. Let me tell you what, it is a crazy, fantastic, amazing ride when we actually give it to him. I mean, I don't know what kind of car he's driving, but he is going down that road and he is just weaving things in and out and hills and mountains and all kinds of exciting stuff. I mean, he's an exciting God. I'm not saying we're going to live on this high all the time. Just saying what he wants to orchestrate in your life is going to be good. It's going to be good. Okay. So that fear is really what hinders and what holds us back. So I want you to understand that your fear, your profound fear of what if, what is this going to happen? What all those things of just what your world look like. As soon as you see yourself in that mode, you're back in that house trying to kind of hold the plaster together, hold the cracks together. Okay, and that's the system that God is trying to dismantle. Now, you are going to kind of go back and forth. You're going to waver back and forth. That's normal. I just want to assure you that's normal. But your goal, our goal in this for the rest of our lives is to learn the power of abiding, of just saying, you've got me, you've got me, you've got me, you've got me. Okay, and that's it. Okay, God is actually more concerned about developing what needs to be developed at that foundational level than he is about fixing your circumstances right now. I know that we don't want to hear that. But I know there's a lot of teachers out there, and I'm into the fact that God really wants to do amazing things in your life. I think his plans for you are good. They're not evil, that he has good things in store for you. But the happy jump to the happy life, get the house, get the car, get the job, just get everything happy, happy, happy. That is not God's primary agenda. Because if he did that, he could produce kids that are really not that desperate for him. And actually, he could have a bunch of spoiled kids, right? Okay. He's more interested in developing character. He's more interested in having something sealed in you so tightly that you can walk both in the glorious moments and in the painful moments being free. Okay. There's somebody walking in here. All right. Do you want to try to see who that is? It looks like someone that. Okay. And so, God's love is going to allow us to suffer in the moment. Okay? He's going to allow us to suffer in the moment. And the deficiencies that we deal with, we are prone, you guys, to look at him and just say, where are you? Where are you? You said this, but you're not doing that. And I'm telling you, it's a walk of faith when you can stand into those experiences and say, you're there. You're there, and I am willing to trust you in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the situation, that you have everything I need to deal with this right now. If you don't, and I don't mean this to spook or scare, or I don't want to make it sound like I'm threatening. If you don't, you will by default go back to survival skills. You know what you're going to be living like? You're going to be living like an orphan, an abandoned, forgotten child that doesn't have a daddy to care. And you know, a lot of us had that mentality. If nobody takes care of me, if I don't manage it myself, I'm going down. And he wants to teach you, no, I am your dad. I have this. You're going to have to trust me. Okay. And that's what a lot of what was being worked out in the Israelites. They wanted just the circumstances to change. Do you see that? They wanted to leave bondage and go into promised land immediately and be happily ever after immediately. And it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Because God was after something deeper. He wanted more than just to give them what they wanted in the moment. He wanted them to learn the foundational, amazing reality of what it was like to let the God of the universe take charge of their life. Okay? And I'll tell you what, they got beat up a little, didn't they? They got all screwed up. And you know what really cracks me up about them? I mean, go read it sometime. You know, I don't know what your Bible verse, I know I have in the journal, I have some suggested Bible readings, but I mean, they're like, we were better off living in Egypt than this. You took us here for us to die. Do you know how many times I said that? Why did you even bother, Lord? Especially early on. I haven't said that for a while, but in the beginning, I'd be like, why even bother? Because, you know, as much as there was this kind of seemingly submitted way about me in my brokenness, there really wasn't. I really, really didn't like not being able to make those decisions for myself. They scared me. I really didn't like it. Okay, my husband's sending me texts right now. Sorry about that. Honey, I'm in class. Anyway, at least it didn't show up on the screen. It wasn't that bad, but anyway. So I don't know even. Anyway, so how we're going to exit seasons of wandering, I want you to know there is an element of choice to the length of your wandering season. What I mean by that is that if we fight it and resist it, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm threatening and scaring and intimidating you. I don't want it to come across that way. But you know, those Israelites took like a, what, 11-day journey, 40 years. 40 years. You see, when we work in the arena that we work in, both on both sides, people that have really negative behavioral problems like addiction, and then people who are dealing with somebody's more negative, they're on the kind of the victim side of that. But you see how some people pursue God at all costs and others just kind of let those circumstances consume them. And then it's like, I have no choices in my life. This is just how it is. And it's not. It's not. And there's an awareness, there's a sobriety. We use the term sobriety to talk about being substance free. But sobriety is forcing an awareness all the time that what is the real world here? The real world is that God is enthroned and I'm his child. And it's going to be okay. That's the real world. Your circumstances in a given moment might say altogether different, but that's the real world. And to stay sober. To stay sober, to stay aware all the time that he really is in control. If you can cease the striving and the effort-based lifestyle of I need to manage this or it's going to fall apart, and learn the beauty and learn the grace that comes when you really learn to say, I'm going to give this to you, okay? It is the most transformational thing that will ever happen in your life, that single transaction. What we hold on to. Well, one of the things that we need to learn, and I can't actually teach you how to do this, but that we talk a lot about transactions in here, is that we are going to learn to need to release. And I think the word release freaks most of us out because we think release is instantly associated with loss. And there is going to be loss. We're going to talk about grief. Some of you are losing things right now, and that they're actual things you're losing. Others of us are learning we're losing conceptual ideas, dreams, ways we wanted something to be, and it's not that way. If you don't learn to release and to grieve, which we're going to talk about in a minute, what happens is we enter back into that survival mode where we're trying to put something in place of whatever it is that we're afraid of losing, or we're continually trying to go over there and fix it. Instead of saying, I can't manage this anymore, I'm just going to keep working harder and harder and harder to make it work. Release is a point where we say, okay, I see this. And Jesus, I'm just going to hand it to you. It's one of the transactions I like to do in any kind of prayer session where we're dealing with a moment of trauma in somebody's life, or a counseling session, is can you give that to Jesus? Can you give that to Jesus? I am not suggesting this is easy or that it's something that we're just supposed to do like in a fear-based way. Fine, I'll give it to you, God. I am a daughter, I'm a son of God, and my daddy knows what's best for me. That is the kind of transaction that I'm talking about. Release is really wild as we get into things that God has a way, doesn't he, of shaking up the affections and the attachments that we have. We think we're good, we're done, we're out of it, and all of a sudden he'll just bring circumstances that will show and expose some attachments we have. Okay. And it's not that he doesn't want us to have relationships and things and all that stuff and jobs and whatever it might be. But he needs to bring a level of detachment to things where we're just willing to slip it out of our hand and place it into his. Okay. The release is a purifying process, you guys, not necessarily a removal process. I'm not suggesting that everything you hand over to God, he's taking away. Okay? He will allow it to be taken away if that's just what's going to be for the all-time best. And people make choices. You have people in relationships that they have the free will to make choices. And he's not necessarily going to stop them. Okay? But when you give it to him, when you release that to him, you give him permission to start purifying that part of your life, okay? And that means if somebody else is in violation to you, you're giving God permission to also deal with them. As long as you're managing it, he can't, a lot of times he can't even deal with that person, okay? So let's talk a little bit about grieving, because we dread the thought of having to feel bad feelings. In fact, I'd say every single person, no matter what they come in here in recovery, has a problem with feeling. Makes sense, right? Has a problem with feeling. And so if you tell me that feeling pain is some sort of gift, it's like, are you out of your mind? I've lived my whole life trying to not feel that pain. But let me just suggest to you that feeling the pain is actually at the heart of all healing and restoration God wants to do in your life. It is literally like a detox process. It is literally a purging process. Now, what is the difference between feeling pain that is just monumental, awful, and empty, and dark, and broken, and feeling what I'm talking about right now? There must be a difference between the two. If this grief thing is so great, what's the difference? Okay. The difference is the Holy Spirit initiates healthy grief. That's the difference. When you are attached to grief, where you are given the opportunity to feel the pain and the reality of losses, I actually don't think anyone has entered into healing until they've come in touch with the pain of their loss. I think every single ounce of codependency is attached to a loss. Someone's deficiencies, someone's abandonment, somebody's violation. Every single one of us in this room and on the webinar has dealt with losses. If we do not come in touch with that loss, if we cover over it and act like it's no big deal, okay, something has not been addressed. Okay, something is still held prisoner inside of us. That's how significant it is. It's like an infection that's festering, and that infection needs to be given. Now, what about forgiveness? Does forgiveness play a role in it? Forgiveness actually cleans it. Forgiveness actually cleans the wound, but somebody who has a cleaned wound should have the opportunity to feel the pain now, and the pain of that wound now needs to enter into the mode of recovery. It's just like the physical body. The body gets injured. While the body's in a fractured state, it's just broken pain. Once that body enters into surgery, once repairs are made, now there's pain. But the bodily pain is leading to the wholeness of that bone or that injury. Does that make sense? That's the kind of pain I'm talking about. Transitioning from the pain of the injury over into the actual purging of the pain that comes because I'm healing. Emotional connection is so important in this process. I'm going to say it again. That if you are completely emotionally disconnected, if you have no, I'm not saying that you can't get well. I'm not saying that you have to cry and sob and weep. You know, how we grieve might be a little bit different, but if there's no sense of loss at all, there's probably still band-aids on you somehow. Medication, band-aids, something, and I don't necessarily mean physical, although physical medication, I'll be really honest with you, it's one of the issues that we have with people being overly medicated in the society. It cuts them off emotionally. They can't experience the blessing of grief. Now, does God just want you to stay a heap of mess and grieve and cry and just walk over? You know, I was a heap of mess at early stages of my recovery, but when I crossed over into Holy Spirit grief, it is the most joyful place to be. It's like all the pressure is removed. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm not trying to manage it. I'm just being held by the physician's care, and he's got me. And that kind of pain is just covered in peace and covered in joy. I don't know how you can experience pain and joy at the same time. I don't know, but you can. It sounds weird, but you can. Okay, it is giving yourself permission to feel and to deal with this stuff is the gift of all gifts, I really do believe. Not just in the initial healing. Some of you might be like, I've already done some of this, and you might already know what I'm talking about. Some of you are already responding to that because you've already done that. I want you to understand the gift of grief is your long-term coping mechanism. Did you ever hear the word coping mechanisms? Codependency is an unhealthy coping mechanism. It's a survival system. So how do you transition from survival living to living authentically in Jesus? How does that transition look? This is how it looks, you guys. I have to, with sobriety, deal with life. What does that look like? Well, I'm not talking about chemical, although that might be applicable, I don't know, but that means in sobriety, I actually feel the pain that people impose on me. Actually, it hurts worse than it hurt when I couldn't feel. Someone disrespects me. Someone hurts me. I feel that pain. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Okay. Well, I had all kinds of different ways of dealing with pain in the past. Stuff it, pretend it's not there, drink something over it, get angry, retaliate. I mean, there's a whole list. And this is, it's so simple, and yet its intent is to, instead of engaging in all those other tactics, is you literally go down to the feet of Jesus and say, this hurts me. This hurts me. What they just did, what they just said, how he just responded to me, it hurts me. Before I check out, before I stuff, before anger gets to take root, I might be angry for a minute, and that's okay if you can learn to not stay there. Okay, not telling you have to not be upset when somebody does really violate you, but how long are you going to hold on to that before you let it root? Okay, some injuries are much deeper than others. I know some of the violations that some of the people are dealing with in this room. They are deep. They are deep. Profound betrayal. Okay. I'm not just suggesting that you're just one time going to lay that at Jesus' feet and you're good to go. There might be a long process that's going to be involved in bringing that particular injury to the feet of Jesus constantly. I remember being in the mode of crying. I could really identify with Mary Magdalene. Remember when she just cried and wept at Jesus' feet? Literally, she was literally at Jesus' feet. That's probably a picture that I, but just how her tears had such love and joy attached to them. They weren't empty, pathetic, weak tears like the world likes to portray somebody who's crying in such a weak, like, get her off the floor and ship her out the door. You know, I'm a poet and I don't know it. sorry, I have to break it up sometimes. I just amuse myself, especially when I get those lines wrong. And just ask my husband, I do it all the time. I'm afraid to use those little cliche lines because I'll say them the wrong way. Anyway, so you got what I'm saying, though. Mary Magdalene is washing Jesus' feet. She's enamored by him at this point. Her tears and her weeping are just gratitude and thankfulness. And she is, there is things like literally like toxins purging out of her as she's crying and weeping over his feet because he has rescued her. He has rescued her. Okay. That is the kind of crying that I'm talking about. When Jesus can supersede the natural, when he can supersede that injury, when he can come and say, I see it, I know it, but you know what? I'm still enough. And you are given permission to not stuff, to not hide, to not pretend, but to, you know the line, I can almost not say it without singing it, let it go. Okay, let it go. That is not that easy. And I guess I already taught on these notes, release and grieve, how to cope. Grief connects us to the reality of both the human condition and God's goodness. That's the bridge. That's what grief bridges. Does that make sense? Let me just repeat that again so that you can kind of understand. This side of the world we're living in and our reality and everything we're exposed to, has brokenness in it, guys. It's just things are imperfect. They aren't the way we want them to be. We want the perfection that heaven's going to offer. We want that now. And then we live in this reality that this world is broken. I'm broken and other people are broken. But if you just stay there, what hope is there in that? If that's all you have, then all you are going to do, if all you have is a house that's teetering on the cliff and you're living every day like, when is it going to crash? When is it going to crash? There's no hope in that. We are not called to live there. We are called to say, yes, this world is broken. But God's goodness supersedes it. He is my living reality. He is my father. He is my husband. He is my friend. He is my brother. If you don't know him intimately like that, where you can't engage with him that way, that's some of the deeper work that he wants to do in your life right now. Because how are you going to jump off the cliff and clutch to him unless you understand the tender nature of his love? Okay, really important. Those of us that didn't have healthy bonding skills, we weren't taught how to bond. We're going to talk a lot about this in chapters to come. Can almost feel intimidated by this talk of this level of intimacy. It's very spooky or scary to some people. But I just want you to know something, that you were created for intimacy. Maybe your intimacy styles are different than mine. I was very hard. I was very hard. Okay. If you would have told me back in the day that I would be teaching this way, I mean, I would have literally probably thrown up hearing myself speak right now. No, I'm being honest. That's why when people don't like what I teach or when I get rejected, I'm just like, you know what? I probably would have rejected me too. I get it. It's okay. I just know what the Holy Spirit does to the heart, the tenderness that he creates in the heart. And I'm not willing to settle. I'm not saying you have to, it has to look a specific way. But I'm not willing to settle with someone who says, oh, I'm just not that way. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're emotionally connected for intimacy with him, to know him and to be known by him. Okay. Grief cleans us. We talked about that. And this is really radical. And I'm only going to introduce this. And some of you might be like, that's just too out there. But believe it or not, all the things that you're exposed to that grieve you are things that grieve your Father in heaven. In other words, the heaviness, the brokenness of this world that we feel burdened by sometimes is a burden that he carries. I remember realizing at some point in my experience what the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ were. And I remember thinking, that was one area of God's promises I really didn't really necessarily want. Who wants to wear the crown of I'm going to share in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ? There is nothing sweeter than getting in to understanding the heartbeat of God, both how he loves people. That's why I love doing these workshops. I'm not just talking to people. I'm talking to people that God loves. He's enamored. Okay, his love style that he loves, but that he is, the brokenness of the human condition grieves him. People don't understand when they've been traumatized, especially as young children. They go, where was God? Where was he? What one of the things that I try to introduce, especially in prayer, like a prayer session, is for them to begin to, and some can do it and some can't, but to let God just expose to them where he was in that trauma, in that situation. Now, let me just tell you, some people are like, he wasn't there. Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He's omnipresent. You're his child. He was there. What was he doing? Why didn't he stop? Why doesn't he stop all the evil in the world? It's the age-old question. He was there. You know where what he was doing? He was experiencing it with you. He went through that violation with you. And you know what? It hurt him even more. I don't like to take away people's hurt, so I hesitate sometimes to say that because I don't want to minimize the pain of trauma and injury. Somebody is betrayed in marriage. Where's God? He is betrayed. He is. He is trauma. He is experiencing that. What's the difference between what we go through and how he goes through it? Because he says that is exactly why I came. So I could be injected into those places. How does he overcome? We think he should overcome by changing the circumstances and controlling the people and changing the people. He says, no, I'm going to inject myself in such a way where my supernatural resource of grace of forgiveness, of redemption, of peace, the peace that surpasses all human understanding. I'm going to inject myself into that circumstance in a way where I can conquer it. They meant it for evil. I'm gonna use this for good. I'm gonna overcome this. This is not gonna write your history story in life. Why does that happen to some people and it doesn't happen to others? Because some people want to keep God over there and say, where were you? I have to manage life without you. I am orphaned. But you're not. There's not one thing that we have experienced in this world. And not only, this is really radical, and I know this is like almost too mind-boggling because it's not really a thought, but not only does Jesus experience the suffering of what we go through in the moment, but he took the perpetrator's violation on the cross. So if you have a perpetrator in your life, he actually bore that shame on the cross, right? We can't even get our head around that. What would that be like? We can't even comprehend what it was like for him to actually pay the cost of what it took to remain. Get our as one of our pastors at our church says, get your religious cap off. Okay? Don't just go the theology of Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins, okay? Jesus bore the weight and took the punishment of that sin on himself. Our sin, other people's sin. So when people violated us, he bore that, okay? You can't get any more intimate than that. What does that mean? He is intimately engaged with our hurts, with our violations, with our trauma. He gets it, completely gets it, like no human being could ever get it. And so if you learn to come to him, if you learn to attach to him in the moment, do you get this? You are going to find the God of all comfort. You are going to find someone who gets it, who understands it, who's weeping with you, but who's cheerleading you through it. Who's saying, I'm enough. You can do this. You can endure. We're going to get through this. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. My grace is sufficient. My promises are real. You can keep going on. Now, the enemy will come and he'll pound us in those moments of vulnerability. And I can't tell you, it's like watching a baby sometimes in our treatment program get ripped up by a predator. A baby animal, maybe, because in the vulnerabilities of feeling or in the vulnerabilities and the complexities of life, the enemy comes and gives an alternative plan. And I'm not saying that when we walk away, we're just doomed and gloomed and that's it. We can go back repeatedly and just continue to come back. My breaking points when I'm going through, when I have seasons of tension and stress and strain, it's building up and I'm short and I'm just, there's evidence that I'm not processing something. And when God breaks me and goes into that thing I'm not processing, it is such a relief. That's what I've been holding in my heart. You guys, we can't actually get to this half the time, probably most of the time. We can't be like, Jesus, this is what I hurt. A lot of times we don't even know what's hurting. We are such complex creatures. Thank goodness we don't have to figure ourselves out. We are very complex. Okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit about waiting and we're going to wrap this up. I just want you to understand that what God wants to produce in us is something called perseverance. It's the gumption to continue in the marathon. Life is a marathon, not a race. It's the gumption to keep going, to get that next breath, okay? Waiting is a mechanism used to strengthen our faith and mature us emotionally and spiritually. When our desires and life experience do not align, God will either change the desires of our heart or teach us to endure until he arrives. Sometimes the outcome won't be what we desire, but the redemptive element will still pour blessings into us. That's like something that you can't teach A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, let's all go home now. But when you learn that, you are walking with the Jesus who said, I've overcome the world. and he really means it. And I want to wrap this up and then we're going to pray out. Okay. And this says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Who wants that scripture spoken over them? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Can I just suffice it to say that that's what this whole class is about today? That's it. How about this one? And I am certain that God, who began the work, good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He started it. He'll complete it. The only one that can change our destiny is us. People can't rob us from what God wants to do in our lives. Okay? The only one who's going to rob it is us. And how do we rob it? We rob it when we choose not to walk in it and stay in it, sober mind, sober, aware, feeling, believing, and we check out. Just want you to go ahead and close your eyes. And you know, the transactions have kind of a similar theme. You're going to notice that. We're just going to take a minute. I just want you to just get to that place where you and Jesus are together. We call it the sanctuary or the holiest of holies. Mostly to focus on how you connect with him. And I just want you to engage with the idea, with the concept that Jesus is with you right now and that he feels every burden that you feel with you. And that you are taking that together. And I guess the transaction would be, are you willing to do pain and disappointment and waiting and yearning for something maybe that has not yet arrived? Are you willing to do that with him? Just going to give you a couple, maybe a minute to talk to Jesus personally. Those of you on the web, just conversing with Jesus, and that's it right now, and then we'll pray together here at the end. We do two transactions. When we're connected to Jesus, we give him something and receive something from him. But the most important thing is that you make a commitment that you're going to sit with him in the pain, not run away from him in the pain. All your circumstances that don't have the outcome right now that you desired or wanted, that you're going to sit with him in those circumstances. You're not going to leave him. We're going to pray. Father, we need to learn how to be sober in seeing you and in facing feelings and in dealing with life, as we say in program, on life's terms, that we cannot correct and change it sometimes. We cannot fix other people. We cannot change outcomes. There are things that we wish we had that we don't have, and there are other things that you're doing that are extraordinary. And we're grateful for everything you have done to this point, that it's not all just broken necessarily. But there are those places and there are people right now dealing with things, God, that need to be released to your feet. That they would see that you are engaged in that you are with them in that you are concerned, that it matters to you, and that you are going to forge ahead through it together. Maybe rescued in a moment, but more than likely, the journey is going to be that you walk through it with them. And Jesus, I just pray that every person here that has honored you in their heart, that has pledged that they are going to stick with you, they're going to stay with you, they're going to feel it, what they need to feel, they're going to heal what needs to be healed, that every single person that makes that pledge, that you would honor that. And that you would just very personally in a very real way, just prove your worthiness to them, Lord. And so we give you the thanks, Father. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's heavy stuff, guys. I'm going to let you break out in your groups and talk a little bit more about this. In webinar, I'm going to be logging in with you. And I just need to, we're going to call in. We are going to attempt to use our phone line. But I do have a backup plan if need be. So, but just go ahead. Those of you that want to log